They have to discuss the issue of checking for bugs in terms of fruits and vegetables, more nowadays with the preponderance of the amount of vegetables that people eat. There's a discussion in terms of checking how often you have to check, and there's a little bit of discrepancies in different hashgachas in terms of how machmir you have to be. Let me just start out by saying that there is an excellent app that you can use, which is the CRC from Chicago. They have a great app which is helpful in general. They have all of their bug checking policies on the app, and if you ever want to know what to do or if you're allowed to buy a certain product without a hashgacha, that's fruit or a vegetable, they have their recommendations on it. I'm not saying everything that they say is a muskim by all poskim, but l'maaseh, it's a great place to start. The OU, I know years ago, I remember I was at the Sfarim sale one year, and there was on the checkout line, there was right near the old used books, they had the OU guide to checking fruits and vegetables, which I purchased, and my wife and I subsequently named it the OU guide to ruining your life. So it's a very comprehensive way to check also for bugs and how to prepare certain fruits and vegetables. So these are helpful things. I don't know if the OU has it on their app, but there's certainly a possibility that they do. So those are good places to start. But just in terms of the halacha, so just to start, we all understand that you're not allowed to eat bugs. Now this is an isser in the Torah. If you learn the Mishnayos and the Gemaras in the third parak of Maseches Makos, they discuss the various punishments and the sets of malkios that a person will receive for eating bugs. So there's certainly an isser d'oraisa to eat any kind of a bug. However, this is not talking about eating bugs, which certainly if you see there's a cockroach crawling on the table and you have some tremendous taiva to eat it, you may not do so, right? But we're talking here about incidentally eating bugs because you're trying to eat something else. So more of a dover shena miskaven or a psik resha, as the case may be. So in Shulchan Aruch, in Yoredeya Pei Dalid, so the Shulchan Aruch writes, Kol mine peros shedarkan lahatliya kishem mechubarim lo yochal ad sheyivdok ha-pri mitocho shema yesh bo tolas. So it says that any type of fruits that normally have worms when they're attached to the tree, you're not allowed to eat them until you first check them on the inside to make sure that they don't have any worms, right? So when I was a kid in the cartoons, they used to have a worm pop out of an apple from time to time because that was apparently a thing, that there were worms in apples. So if you were in a place where there were worms in apples and it was normal, you have to check the apple to make sure there are no worms inside of it in order to be allowed to eat it. Now the question is how serious is this chiyuv to check? Obviously if you saw a worm you could not eat it, but what about checking for the worm? So this is generally assumed to be a din d'oraisa, that if it's normal that there are worms inside the apples, that the rove of the apples have worms inside of them, then you are chayev to check for them in a Torah. Whereas if it's less, we generally have a rule, achirab lahato, so if it's less than a rove, then you're not chayav to check it min haTorah. However, midrabbanan, they did not want you eating bugs, and therefore they said any time that there is a significant minority, a mira matsui, one is chayav to check to make sure that there aren't any bugs inside the fruit, on the vegetable, etc., to that extent. Now, this is where a lot of the confusion in terms of what you're chayav to do, how much is a mira matsui. So generally assumed, based on the Mishnas Yaakov, that it's 10%. That 1 out of 10 somethings has bugs, then you are chayav to check it. This is a big problem in terms of what do we consider a mira matsui. There's all kinds of shittas in the recent achronim and the poskim in terms of how much you 10% of what. So let's just assume for argument's sake that Mira Matsui is based on the actual servings that are offered, right? So if you generally serve a salad that's a certain size, so if there's less than a 10% chance then there would be any bugs in that salad, so then you would not be chayav to check it. But if there's a more than 10% chance, you'd be chayav to check it. So that's why a certain, when they do the studies of these different vegetables, so they tell you which ones have a general possibility of infestation and which ones do not. Okay, so now the next question that comes up is, fine, so maybe you would be chayav to check it, but in the end of the day, in the end of the day, how do we know that there are even bugs there? If we look at the piece of lettuce without, you know, without doing any serious investigation, or people, there's a, you know, broccoli has a very bad reputation. So if we look at the, if we look at the broccoli, we're not going to see any bugs on it. So if I look at it with my eyes and I can't find any bugs, so why is that considered something which might have bugs on it just because I have to look through it? Why don't we consider that a case of bittul, either bittul v'rov, bittul b'shishim, certainly. So why don't I just say, just like if I couldn't find them because they're such a tiny percentage, so obviously I'm not chayav to look anymore. So I should just say it's batal. So the problem with that is there is a halacha also mentioned in the first Mishnah and the third Perek in Makkos, which is discussed in Hilchos Tarovos in Yoredeya, called a beria. A beria means that there's a full creation where it's not considered to be batal, neither berov nor b'shishim. A beria is not going to be batal. Something that is alive and is a full creature that is, and it's aser mitchilas briyaso, which means that it's not something that absorbed the time of iser. It's actually aser, like a bug itself is completely aser from the time that it's born. Then it's going to have a separate issue that it's never going to be batal. Now this is important to keep in mind that the whole reason why the bugs aren't batel is a chumra midirabanan of beria, meaning so if you just looked at the lettuce and you would see the bugs, that's called nikara iser. You obviously can't eat the, you can't say, well, it's still one less than 1/60th of the piece of lettuce or one less than 1/60th of the fruit, and therefore I'm allowed to eat it. No, if it's nikara iser, you're never allowed to just consume the iser, you have to remove it. But if it's not nikara iser, it's mixed in there somewhere, and it's a beria, then it's not going to be batel, even though midaraisa it's batel, midarabanan it's not batel. Now, just to be clear, the din of beria has ramifications min haTorah, but not in the case of tarovis. In tarovis, we assume a beria that is only a chumra midarabanan. Because if it's chashivus, it's not batel. Now, based on that, so you have the room for leniency in certain cases. I.e., for this, I don't know if this is the Metzias anymore, but when the bag lettuces first came out, it was a big chiddush for all the hashgachas to be giving a hashgacha to romaine lettuce. Normally, romaine lettuce requires a great deal of checking due to its mass infestation, and they were giving hashgachas to the romaine lettuce, and the svara that we were being told at the time was that they power wash it with these, like, fire hose quality washers, where they're really just pounding the lettuce with water. And therefore, even if they didn't succeed at getting all the bugs off of the lettuce, they certainly succeed at least ripping them to shreds. And therefore, it would no longer have a din of a beria because it's the bug is now ripped up and it's not, you know, even if a bug was hanging on for dear life and it stuck to the lettuce, it would still be pieces of it. Similarly, again, I can't verify the Metzias on this, but certain times when they flash freeze fruits, so you get the frozen strawberry. So strawberries have a bad reputation these days as being fruits that sometimes have bugs on them. So, but if you look, I think the CRC, and maybe I think everybody holds this way, that you can buy frozen strawberries even without a hashgacha. And I was told the reason for this is that when they flash freeze the strawberries, even if there are bugs on them, the eyeballs of the bug pop out. And that's not considered a berry anymore because it's no longer a complete creation. And therefore, you're allowed to eat it. Now that's one type of issue. Now the question is, isn't that a problem of ein mevatlin isur l'chachila? The rule is, if I don't have the right neither to add a small amount of isur to a mixture where I know that it's going to be batel b'shishim, nor am I allowed to, if I accidentally, let's say, drop some milk into the chulent, I can't add more chulent to then be mevatel the milk b'shishim. That's called ein mevatlin isur l'chachila. So how come I'm allowed over here to power wash the lettuce and be mevatel the bug, or be mevatel it from its status as a beria by popping its eyeballs out or something else that's tasty like that? So the standard answer given by the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch is that you're not doing it for the sake of mevatlin isur l'chachila. Certainly the companies couldn't care less about the Jewish shittas on beria, and when they're washing it for their own purposes. They want to get the bugs off of the lettuce. They want to make sure the lettuce is nice and clean, no pesticides, no whatever it is. So therefore they wash it for their own reasons. It happens to be that the Jewish people get to benefit under those circumstances. Now, this has broad ramifications in terms of the kashrus of yogurts. yogurts, they grind up all these fruits, they blend them, they put them on the bottom of the yogurt. Or let's say you're making a smoothie. People nowadays, they want to put vegetables into their smoothie. So they take some yogurt, they take some kale, and they blend it all together to make some kind of a smoothie. Do they check the kale? No, nobody checks it. I might have bugs on it. I don't know what the metzias is in terms of it's a mitzvah or not, but let's assume it is. I mean, I'm not saying that there could be bugs on kale, but you're going to grind it up in a blender. Now it's going to be completely batel from its status of a beria. Under those circumstances, the poskim hold that that's not called mevatlin esur lechatchila, because your goal when blending up the kale is not to destroy the bugs. Your goal in blending up the kale or blending up the fruits in the bottom of the yogurt is to make sure you have some nice blended mixture of all the things that you were trying to eat. And therefore, there is no isser to do that in terms of ein mevatlin esur lechatchila. Last point about this, and if anybody has any specific questions, send them my way. There is a comment of the Mishkan Es Yaakov that's quoted in the Pesachei Tshuva at the end of the Siman on Beria, which I've never heard anybody holds like it, where he writes that since the whole inyan of Beria is based on Chashivus, by definition, if you can't find something, it should not have a din of a beria. Meaning, if you're eating broccoli and the whole thing is, the broccoli is very much infested and you can't eat it without parboiling it first, because you're never going to be able to find all the bugs. So that's a highly questionable thing, says the Mishkan Es Yaakov, because how can you tell me there's something in there that's so chashuv that it's not batel and I can't even find it? So where's the chashivas over there? Just the hypothetical chashivas of a beria? He says a beria is not supposed to be hypothetically chashuv, it's supposed to be actually chashuv. So he says, therefore, under those circumstances, we would not apply the din of beria midrabanan. Nevertheless, like I said, I've never seen this quoted. Not that I've read everything there is to read on it, but I've never seen it quoted lahalacha. It's just an interesting malkum to have lying around.